there's nothing like the thrill of the chase.
Oh, yeah? And what are we chasing this morning?
Chicks, babes, skirts.
Go to school, Jonathan.
Dolls, tomatoes, boy toys.
Go to school, Jonathan. Go to school.
Boy toys? Tony, what are you teaching him?
Oh, I hate to tell you this, but he's self-educated.
I have a feeling he's getting some good coaching.
You're right. Tony's the best. You should have seen him last night. Your seats weren't even cold
before we got our table for dinner.
Uh-huh. Let me guess. Some pretty girl came by, couldn't resist your charms.
Angela, why should I flirt with a pretty girl at a restaurant when I can flirt with a beautiful woman right here at home?
Boy, I should have brought my shovel.
Hi. Welcome back to AOA, who's the Boss Podcast. I'm Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss.
I like that you did the AOA. We didn't even discuss it.
We didn't, but you said...
But I'm sitting here doing something.
Yeah, you said I'm ready, but then you were typing away, so I figured I would just do it.
Well, I got to get the summary.
Today we're going to cover Season 6, Episode 5. The episode is called Tony and the Professor. It first aired on Tuesday, October 24th, 1989, and the TV Guide summary says, Tony breaks a date with a woman he met in a bar, only to find out she is his new professor. Nuts and bolts right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. What do you have?
You know what? Nothing.
Oh.
I don't think this person has stopped.
Really?
Well, the last one...
Didn't have one
either?
They
had one.
Oh,
no,
okay.
They did, I think. But once in a while, they miss.
Yeah.
I always want to say she. I don't know why I think it's a she, because it's just initials. But
right.
They missed.
Based on the...
Maybe they didn't like this episode, or they skipped it or something. But yeah, there's no...
I'm going to say, based on the people who listen to this podcast, and demographic-wise, like, broken down, and based on the people that I see in most of the... fan areas, I think you're safe to say it was probably a woman.
Okay, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get hate.
I mean, no, it could be wrong.
Emails from
but
somebody.
I would say that there are listeners are a high percentage of women, and a lot of the people I see in the fan groups.
Out of complete curiosity, I'm going to go look at the next episode and see if they're that
if
person
one's
is
there.
Written one.
So this episode was written by a woman named Mindy.
Yes, oh, they have. So okay. For the next episode, you can all. prepare.
Maybe they just really didn't like this episode.
Oh, there's she, he,
yeah.
Whoever,
they
missed one so far, I think. So this is the second one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there was one more.
Yeah.
But yeah, once in a while. Otherwise, they're very dedicated.
They are. I appreciate their dedication. They, at this point, they are more dedicated than we are because we are pumping these out.
I know. We
one
got a
week
slow. It's
slowly.
Been
we've slowed down.
The holidays killed us.
This episode was written by a woman named Mindy Schneider, and this is her only, and again, I'm just assuming it's a woman named Mindy, but it could be a man.
I almost said that,
because there's
I
a Mindy Patinkin, right? What is his name?
It's Mandy.
Oh.
Mandy Patinkin.
Oh. Okay, never mind.
And he's Inigo Montoya.
Yes. I didn't remember it was the guy from The Princess Bride. Mandy. Yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Close.
You know. All right, this is her only episode of Who's the Boss? So it must have been somebody just like submitted a script or whatever, and I got. Mm-hmm.
I always wonder about the
me
like
too.
I'm interested in those.
But I don't wonder enough to really track down a writer to talk to.
No.
I did try in the beginning.
And if you do, they don't want to talk to us anymore.
No. I mean, we had one that was like kind of interested, yeah. Two that were kind of interested, but it's hard enough to schedule the two of us to sit down at this table. So unless
right.
It's somebody like Adam that is super easy to schedule and
I know,
work with,
he's awesome.
Yeah, then I don't have it in me at this point. I got a lot to do, people. Okay, when this episode starts, Tony and Pee-wee, not to be confused with Tiny, Pee-wee are at a restaurant called Stromboli. And they are there because Pee-wee's wife, Muriel, has left him and he's feeling kind of down. So Tony took him out, I guess, to cheer him up and to try to figure out a way to get Muriel to take him back. But Pee-wee is just ready to meet some women because he
ready
says,
to move on.
Yeah, that there's no way that Muriel's taking him back because she wrote a note that says, it's over, we're dead, finito, we're not getting back together.
What's interesting about this, quickly, is that it's a Stromboli's and it's a Italian restaurant, but you go in and it's like a pickup bar.
I know, it's very...
I don't understand. I don't see people eating Italian food. And it's
yeah,
just
that's true.
Like,
I see no Italian food.
But there's like people moving around, you know, like yeah. women come over and say hi, whatever. But I just thought that was interesting. Why didn't they just make it a bar?
It's kind of like an Islands back in Orlando that like was a restaurant. Or Bahama Breeze?
Yeah,
what
Bahama
was that
Breeze.
Place?
Islands.
Oh, yeah. Islands is the burger, place here.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place tonight.
You
Mindy
are.
Mandy Islands.
You are.
Bahama Breeze.
Bahama Breeze was a restaurant, but also
but
like
mostly
a,
just like a pickup bar.
For
yeah.
people over 50.
And I love these old 80s like restaurant sets because they look so like Jack's Bistro on Three's Company, which was 70s and 80s.
Right.
They just always look so like bare bones yeah. and like just cheesy.
Yeah, what do you want? It's now, a restaurant, a TV show.
So now he's here to pick up women, and Tony's like, you don't want to meet any women in this bar because nice women aren't going to come to this bar. Again, I mean...
See, again, what's wrong with Stromboli?
Yeah,
it's a restaurant. And the... Well, anyway, go on. I don't want to spoil it.
So Pee-wee makes some comment about Angela, and Tony says she would never be in a place like this. And he says, sure she would. She's right over there. So Tony looks over and he's all embarrassed that Angela's seen him and Angela's embarrassed that he's seen her. There is a really funny blooper that I could not find. Of course, when I'm trying to find the blooper, I can't. Of this scene. And he says, there's Angela, and Tony Danza says something like, holy shit. And then everybody starts laughing.
Oh my God.
And he's
I'd love
like,
to
oh
see
man.
That. That's
and so,
so funny.
They do it again. And so then they do the scene again and he says, there's Angela. And Tony turns around and they show Judith and she goes, holy shit.
Oh, that's so funny.
To make fun of him for making the blooper. So I know it is a really, if I find it, I'll post it. Oh by the way, our Facebook page got shut down.
So yeah, what did you post on there that you offended somebody?
I don't know. Oh. Nothing. The only thing I can think, so this is the second time this has happened to me. Our little free library page, which is a little library box that's in our front yard where people can take books or leave books. I had a page for that, and that got shut down by Facebook a few years ago. And at the time, I thought it had gotten shut down because the person who gifted us the library when they moved was like full out QAnon.
Yeah.
And he was still associated with the page, so I thought maybe that's why we got shut down. But now, I don't know. The only thing I can think is they got us for a copyrighted clips.
Oh, maybe clips or something.
But you think they would have just taken the video down or given us a warning, but the page is completely unpublished and I have no way to get it back. So
Mark Zuckerberg just ruling
Mark,
the world.
Wait, Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, oh. Yeah, he's face. Yeah, yeah.
All right, come on.
Oh my goodness. I was getting him confused with Tom from MySpace.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for you to say. Maybe it's Tom has something to do with from MySpace.
No. So, yeah. Anyway, so our MySpace page is also gone, but our Facebook page is gone. So then Angela's like, oh, man, there's Tony. So she doesn't want to be seen and he doesn't want to be seen. But Mona's like, oh, no, let's wander over. So she brings Angela over and they like start talking a little bit. And Pee-wee starts to tell Angela how much Tony used to pick women up in places like this when he was younger.
Again. I haven't seen anybody have a slice of pizza, a meatball.
No, I don't see any meatballs.
There's nothing
back
going
there.
On but people picking people up
and drinking.
Or trying.
So maybe this is like
whatever.
Benihana, where there's like the bar area in the front and then you go into
okay,
the restaurant.
So this
area?
Isn't the restaurant. They're waiting to go eat their calzones.
Yeah,
the
maybe
back.
They're waiting for a table, so they're just kind of hanging out here in the bar area.
I
have no idea.
Stromboli's.
So they are talking. He's telling Angela about how much he used to pick up women. Pee-wee's saying that about Tony. Angela's kind of interested in these stories, but not really. And Tony's trying to play it off like it's nothing because at this point, I feel like Tony doesn't want Angela to get the impression that he's on the prowl for anyone.
Well, that's what this whole episode's about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
So then Angela and Mona leave and Pee-wee... and Tony are left. Now, we've talked about the actor who plays Pee-wee before because he's been in other episodes. But let me just refresh everyone and myself's memory about his name, if I could get this window to open.
Oh, his name is yeah. Dennis Berkeley or Berkeley.
Oh,
maybe?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's who he is. And he was recently, last acting stint, he was a lot of voices on King of the Hill.
Oh, that makes sense.
And he does, actually. Like from 1997 till, that's when the series ran. I'm not actually sure how much he was on. And then he was on My Name is Earl, which kind of he fits that.
Yes, of course. Yep, definitely.
And that's really the big, and he was in Pauly Shore is Dead, which I actually watched that movie. So I'd like to go back and watch it again and see where he is. Actually, I don't know if I can watch that again, but.
Was it bad?
It's almost like this. It's probably worth a watch once because it's kind of funny and it's it's all about like Hollywood. It all takes place through Hollywood and stuff. And it's shot very, what is that?
Guerrilla style. Yeah.
But there's a lot of people in it and stuff. But anyway.
He died in 2013.
67 yes.
years old. Yeah. That's the other thing I wanted to bring up about Pee-wee is I feel like Pee-wee is a character we would see as one of Dan's friends on Roseanne, like from Illinois.
Sure.
I don't understand Pee-wee from Brooklyn. Did he move to Brooklyn? He has no Brooklyn accent. He doesn't at all seem like he lives in Brooklyn. Now, I guess that's a stereotype that somebody would have to sound like that. But
I mean, Pee-wee is just a nickname, right? So maybe because he's so large.
Well, Pee-wee's I don't think his name is really Pee-wee.
You're wondering why he's called Pee-wee. Didn't you say that?
No, I'm wondering why he's from Brooklyn.
All right, well, I'll see myself out.
Because most of Tony's friends from Brooklyn are these other like Italian Brooklyn guys that he's grown up with. And Pee-wee looks like he's from Illinois or somewhere in the Midwest.
Okay. Midwest. He doesn't have any kind of accent.
So maybe he moved to Brooklyn and Tony met him later on.
I don't know. Pee-wee could have like an Alabama or a Florida vibe too, at the same time.
Yeah,
so
I'm saying like I don't know if I go Midwest as much as like a Brooklyn guy that we've seen on here before. But I do also
get what you're saying. Yes,
I also feel like Tiny,
Philly Fingers is straight up.
Yes. Oh, and the actor who plays Philly Fingers just recently passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like in the last month. Right, like Philly Fingers is very, Italian guy and Brooklyn guy. And all of the guys we've met up to this point that are Tony's friends have like thick accents and, very Brooklyn. And Pee-wee just doesn't fit that. But I also still stand by the fact that I think that Pee-wee and Tiny were interchangeable. And depending on what actor they could get,
I think you're right.
So Tiny has more of a Brooklyn feel to him than Pee-wee does.
And Pee-wee just filled in wherever.
Right. Because Tiny started out, and then I think Pee-wee came in afterwards.
I'd be curious to know if in the earlier... I know, but this thing's going on forever. I'm sorry. I'd be curious to know in the earlier episodes if Tiny was married, which I think...
He was, and he had a son named Elvis.
Okay.
Because Elvis was flirting with Samantha at one of the little festivals or something.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know that Tiny's wife's name was Muriel, but I don't know that we ever knew what his wife's name was.
So yeah, you're right. It's almost like an interchangeable character. Anyway.
And part of the reason why Muriel has divorced Pee-wee or is leaving Pee-wee is because he watches too much television.
Wow. I thought you were going to say pornography.
Well, I mean, I don't know what channel he's watching, possibly
VHS tapes,
Skinamax or whatever you could get your hands on back
too
then.
Much television.
Now,
there's got to be more to it.
I'm sure there is. Television. Look at Pee-wee. There's probably a lot more to it. He crushes beer cans on his head and he treats women terribly.
Yeah.
Now these two women come over and they see Tony, or the blonde lady sees Tony, and they sit down and start talking to them. It's Joan and what is the other lady's name?
Oh, no, I don't have those on here.
Hang on, I have it. Joan and Lori. Now, Joan is played by an actress named Christine Kellogg. Now, Christine Kellogg doesn't have very many IMDb credits, and they stop around 1989.
Oh, wow.
But there is a woman named Christine Kellogg Darren, -Darren, who has a more extensive IMDb.
Oh, that's her. You can look at the picture.
Right? That's what I thought, too. The woman looks like her.
Oh, that's totally her.
And she is still working. So okay. As of 2021, she was filming a short.
Yeah, once you change your name or whatever, IMDb will give you a new.
Yeah, but like a lot of times what you'll see is.
Sometimes they'll say as whatever.
Right, because if you notice here, nothing before 2005 is listed on here.
Oh, and what is her other one?
Her other one stops at 1989.
Oh, okay. But then I'm sure there was a few things.
Right. Because like a lot of times you'll see like, who's the boss? Credited as Christine Kellogg.
Gotcha. You know, but yeah, I don't know why they did this completely.
I don't know if she was like, I don't want to have anything to do with anything I did before 1989 or what, but that I thought it was the same woman too. Like, I can't prove it, but it looks like it's the same woman. So that's who plays Joan. And then the lady who plays Lori, her name is Tori
Pallone.
Pallone okay. or Pallone. And you recognized her from an episode of Seinfeld. Seinfeld,
yeah. The
and
phone message, Carol. I remember that.
That's episode. The last thing that she did in 1991.
Yeah, that was it. She tapped out.
Yep. So they sit down. They start talking to Tony and Pee-wee. And Tony and Lori... No, I'm sorry. Tony and Joan kind of hit it off. They're talking about Casablanca is going to be playing at a local theater. Tony says he loves that movie. Pee-wee tries to get in on it by doing an impersonation of Humphrey Bogart.
Right, but he's way off because he does a impersonation of James Cagney. He does the...
You dirty rat.
You dirty right? rat.
Yeah, and then the lady Lori, who is going to be...
Not impressed.
Right, who's going to be Pee-wee's girl if this night goes on, is seriously like, get me out of here. I'm not into this at all. So Joan asks Tony, would you be interested in going out on Friday? Because there's a play, they're showing it and, you know, it's going to, I wanted to see it on the big screen. And Tony is like, he kind of gets flustered. And then Joan gets flustered because she's like, you know what? I'm really sorry. Like, I'm not very good at this. So I don't know what her story is, if she's recently dating again or if she's just not comfortable trying to ask men out.
Right.
But she kind of gets flustered. And then Tony's like, oh, no, you're really good at this. Just, you know, he kind of got caught. And then he says, yes. She gives him her telephone number and then they leave. But Pee-wee is like, you want to make this a foursome? And Lori's like, no, I really don't.
Yeah, not interested.
Yeah. And Pee-wee's selling point to her is I can crush a beer can on my head. Mm. And she says, why don't you try it with a bottle?
Yeah, I think these are lines I kind of used to use back in the day.
That you could crush a beer can?
I don't
know.
That
is not true.
Something along those lines, I'm sure.
You would have never. You think so? Are you talking like in high school?
I have no idea. Maybe.
You never had any lines, but you were.
I had lines.
You did?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Did you use any of them on me?
I had lines that I thought maybe were good.
Okay. First of all, there shouldn't be lines at all. Let's just get rid of lines.
Let's just get rid of lines.
Just be yourself. But I don't remember. I do remember you asking me to go get something to eat, and it didn't come out at all the way you expected it to, because you said, "Would you like to go get some dinner, or do you want to go get something to eat?" Because I know that's what
I
you
know
like
that you
to
like
do.
To eat or something. I said, "That's just terrible." But here you are.
I know it worked, I guess. But no, I mean everybody always thought you were charming and whatever, even without your crappy lines. Okay, so the next day, and this is not on the antenna TV version, so they show Samantha come into the kitchen and she's all ready to go at like 6:30 in the morning. And Tony's like, wow, you got up at the crack of dawn. You're really in the mood to get to school. And she's like, no, I woke up this early because Pee-wee's watching cartoons and he's acting out all the parts.
Oh, see, that means he's, again, that goes back to the too much
watching
TV,
the TV
watching.
Right.
He, so that's he probably, already knows the lines of the cartoons.
Right.
That and means that's how much TV he's watching.
That's probably how his wife woke up every morning to him reciting cartoon lines, which has got to be really aggravating coming from a grown man, especially if you have children or other things that he should be doing. So he comes in. Now, why did Pee-wee spend the night? Oh, because I guess he got completely kicked out of the house.
Yeah. I get. Well, maybe they were just, maybe it got real at pastrami.
Stromboli.
Strombolis.
It doesn't, though. You'll find out that they were home by 9:30.
That's true. But I think... Well, maybe they got so drunk they got home by 9:30.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not going to be like a Mary Lou Henner or whatever her character was that I can't remember now. staying around the house for a while. I think he's just there maybe for the night.
Yeah, I think he just crashed there at the house. Maybe he's from Brooklyn and Stromboli's is close.
Yeah, closer to Connecticut. Okay, I made a mistake. So
it was a collaborative mistake.
The lady who plays, so Joan's friend is Susan, not Lori. Lori comes in later in the episode. So Susan is played by Deborah Armani.
Right, which is why I was trying to look it up, because I'm like, I don't know if that's her. And
from the Seinfeld episode?
Yeah, and I remember recognizing somebody when we watched this. We watched this a little while ago, then we rewatched it, but we didn't talk about the Seinfeld reference. Or the person that was in Seinfeld. So, but then when I saw the classroom, I'm like, oh wait, I think that was her. Yeah. So
Susan is played by Deborah Armani, who's the boss's the last acting credit she has in 1989.
That was it for her.
Yeah,
done.
She did V, the TV series, which I loved as a child.
So you would have known for her from that. I mean, not
she just plays
her,
newswoman.
But, right.
But I just remember that miniseries. Dynasty, L.A. Law, and Who's the Boss? Hmm. And then the woman, Tori Poloni or Pallone, is who was on Seinfeld, and she is in the episode a little later, so we'll mention her again. After Samantha leaves, Tony and Pee-wee are talking about the night before. They got in at 9:30. It wasn't a big, a barn burner. And Pee-wee has decided that he's going to try to get Muriel back because he doesn't do the shallow life as well as Tony does. Yeah, but Tony's like, you know what? That's not my life anymore either. And I'm actually thinking about breaking the date with Joan. So then Pee-wee's like, can I have her? And he's like, I thought you were going to get back with Muriel. Oh, that's right.
He just forgets.
Yeah, Pee-wee's a dumbass. And he says, why did you make the date if you were just going to break it? And Tony's like, I actually didn't make the date. She asked me and I said yes. And he's like, you know, I should have just stopped at charming, but I couldn't help flirting with her and being irresistible. And now I'm in this predicament.
No,
so
rough, tough life.
Right, Tony?
Rough to be Tony.
Now, here's what is exactly happening here. So now Tony is trying not to date because it's not
I don't
anything.
Know. I'm confused actually kind of by it because I think, I think he's just got it. He's got it for Angela. So he's trying to not.
He's trying to not date Angela, but he's trying to not date anyone.
Yeah, it's kind of a messed up.
This way they can
dysfunctional
have
sixth season.
Their like close friendship where they are always available to do things with each other,
right, and not have other people
right around. Because it's not that he didn't find Joan attractive. Like if Angela wasn't in the picture, Joan probably would have been somebody he would be attracted to. But now he just doesn't want to go out with her because he's like he doesn't want to. Probably start something with someone and then, he wants to be available to do things.
It's kind
with
of an annoying phase.
Yeah, he wants to, It's like he's gotten himself in the friend. And that's a thing, like he has friendship zoned himself because all he has to do is say the word and Angela is there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We saw how she went at him on that bench in Jamaica or
that's
the Bahamas or wherever they were. The girl is ready. So now Jonathan comes in and he hears them talking about flirting and he's like, when I flirt with a girl, I always feel like I could live forever. It feels so great. And he's going on and on about saying all these terrible things about women, calling them babes and chicks and boy toys. And Angela comes in and hears this. And Tony's like, go to school, Jonathan. Go to school, Jonathan. And Angela asks Tony, what are you teaching him? And he's like, listen, I got news for you. This kid's self-taught.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So now we're in this, like, they go through this little phase with Jonathan, and I think really till the end of the series, where he's, like, girl crazy, but doesn't have very much luck with girls. Which sounds about right for Jonathan.
Yeah, that works.
And then Angela's like, okay, so tell me what happened. And Pee-wee's like, all right, your seats weren't even cold before other women were sitting there. And Tony's trying to get him to shut up. And he's like, you should have seen Tony. He was flirting. And then Tony says, why would I flirt with a pretty girl at a restaurant when I can flirt with a beautiful woman right here at home?
Yeah, but you don't.
Right.
And you could be doing more than flirting, but you don't.
Yeah. With her little turtleneck and her plaid jacket there.
About this episode.
I know. And she says, first she looks a little like she's touched, and then she says, I should have brought a shovel. And she gets up and walks out.
Ah,
So she's teasing him. Tony's like, okay, that's it. I'm calling this girl up and I'm breaking the date with her. So he calls up Joan, and instead of telling her the truth, which I don't even know what you would say, like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said yes. I actually have feelings for someone else and I'm not really interested in getting into a relationship right
now. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what that would be the truth, but that's kind of awkward, even more so. But instead he tells her that he has to go to Paris on business.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. How about I just can't make it, or I've had a family emergency or something.
Right. She gets the hint because she understands that he doesn't want to see her. But yeah, it's still not something that really makes it final. You know, it's letting her think that there's still a chance that they will get together. And his business is he sells coffee machines.
I know.
So he's going to Paris to sell coffee machines.
Because that's what they want in Paris, American coffee machines.
Or is it an Italian company? Whatever his lie was, it was a convoluted one. So now the next day, or a few days later, he goes to class. He sits down. It's the first day of class. Now another girl sits down next to him. This is Lori. Who is Tori Poloni?
Tori Poloni.
Who played Carol in that episode of Seinfeld.
I totally see her now.
Not to be confused with the Carol that George...
It's the answering machine one where George leaves them. George leaves her a bunch of messages on her answering machine and starts yelling at her because she didn't call him back, but it turns out she's out of town.
Oh. And then he tries to erase
them. They try to steal the tape.
Of course, right. That's something you can't do. You can't have that storyline these days because there's no tape to steal. But they use that quite a bit, I think, in 80s TV. Yeah. Or trying machine. To re-record over the message, like that episode of Friends.
Right.
So what is her name here? Lori. Lori sits down and she says, boy, I feel naked today. And that gets Tony's attention. So now he's got to find out why. And because she's recently cut all of her hair off. So she feels very different. So she starts flirting with him, and he realizes that he's going to get asked out on another date if he doesn't back away, because he's kind of being flirty with her, and he's like, okay, no, stop. So he cuts it off quickly, and that's the end of that. Now, when the professor comes into the classroom, it is Joan, and Tony poops his pants.
Tony poops his pants.
And he's trying to hide his face. And then she catches him right away. She notices him and she's like, how? Oh, I think she says bonjour. And he asks if she'd be interested in an espresso machine. So he's trying to.
Wah, wah.
He gets up and he's trying to explain to her, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize you were going to be my professor. And she's like, it's fine. You know, you clearly didn't want to go out with me. And so you lied and made up a reason.
And this all could have been avoided. Well, besides the fact that he shouldn't have said he was going to Paris.
Right.
If he would have gotten a little more in deeper conversation with her, he would have found out she teaches at his, that she's a professor at his college.
Right, yeah.
And then maybe even found out what kind of tea. Oh, well, I'm starting your class.
Right.
I know that screwed up the entire script. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yeah, it was a very surface level conversation that they had to begin with. But yes, if he would have been honest with her, this wouldn't be. But again, we wouldn't have this storyline.
Right.
She tells him not to worry about it. It's fine. They go on with the class. But Tony is still feeling a bit of tension. Back home, Jonathan is trying out some pickup lines on Samantha.
I know, which it's odd. Yeah. Like, why is this happening?
He comes in and he's like, don't move. I just want to see this vision of loveliness. And he's saying how she's such a combination of brains and beauty. And she's like, you're giving me the willies.
Yeah, the willies. And rightfully so.
And he's like, hang on. I want to ask Julie Walsh out. And I need help with an opening line. And her suggestion to him is, I'll pay you.
Oh.
I know. And then she goes upstairs and he says, how much?
I know. He's desperate.
He is. Then Angela and Mona come in and he tries a pickup line on them. And Mona's like, he's the son of Damien, or she makes some comment about him being like a devil child. And he's like, whatever. And he just goes upstairs. Now Mona picks up a postcard that's from Pee-wee. He and Muriel have gotten back together and they're on a second honeymoon. And Muriel's request was that they not have a television in the room. So he agreed to that. And then he gave her a wild night of passion.
Oh, God.
And on the second night, she requested a television in the room.
Why did Pee-wee send the postcard?
Because it's 1989.
Oh, okay.
And he just wanted to let them know how it was going.
All right, I guess.
Then Tony gets home, and while Jonathan's all moony-eyed and Pee-wee's having a second honeymoon, he just comes
Tony's
in.
Tony's done like, with women.
Yeah. He's like, I'm done with women. And Mona blames Angela for turning an entire sex against him.
I know, that was funny.
In 5 years.
But, I mean, Tony did this to himself. I don't understand.
He absolutely did this to himself. And Angela's like, what could have possibly happened? And he says that he got a C on his paper in the class. And he says it didn't deserve a C. And Angela's confused. She's like, well, why would the teacher give you a C if you didn't deserve a C? And he doesn't want to tell her why, because the reason he thinks is because he broke the date with her and that made her angry, so she gave him a C. So he's playing it off because I guess he doesn't want Angela to even know that he had made a date with someone.
Right.
I noticed that their outfits match. Like the colors of their clothing are very complementary to each other. And I'm curious to see if that carries through this season where they're trying to make them like dating without dating. Tony decides to tell Angela the truth, which is that when he was at Stromboli's with Pee-wee on Friday, he agreed to go out on a date with Joan. And you can tell Angela's jealous. She's like, oh, weren't you the busy little fisherman?
Yeah, right.
And then he says, you know, well, I broke the date the next day because I didn't even want to go out with her. And she's curious as to why he didn't want to go out with her, but he's not going to tell her the reason. So he's like, oh, that's not really important. But he insists that because he broke the date the next day, that is why she gave him a C.
Ah, yeah.
And Angela thinks he's being ridiculous. And she's like, do you think that really she couldn't handle being rejected by you? So she gave you a bad grade. And she thinks you're just he's being really full of himself. And he is.
I know he is. I mean, it gets to that point. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He definitely thinks that is the reason why he got the C. So Angela's like, don't you think that it could just be that you deserved it or there's some other reason? So, but he decides he's going to call Dr. Powell on the phone. So he calls up the teacher and Angela again is kind of like, why do you know her number so quickly?
I know. Just
so she's
constantly
really
questioning.
Yeah, she's really playing the jealous one here. Mm. And then when he gets Dr. Powell on the phone, he's like, I want to talk about this as soon as possible. She's like, okay, well, if you want to talk about it now, come down to Stromboli. Apparently, that's her regular hangout.
That is her spot.
Yeah.
I get to see her grade papers in Stromboli's.
Now I want to eat a Stromboli.
I knew. I eventually knew that if in this episode I said Stromboli enough, you would say that.
There's a place in Burbank that has the best Stromboli.
I know. I know. I knew
it
would go down
really
that road,
long
too.
Time.
I know. You love it. Is that place still open?
I think so, yeah. Because I think at one point when you guys were out of town, I drove all the way there and picked it up and drove myself all the way home.
I'm going to be in Pasadena in the next couple of days, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
To Burbank.
So
you put in your order.
Okay,
I'll get
thank you
Stromboli.
It's so good. So he calls. So he's like, okay, well, fine. Then I'll come down there. So he's like, she definitely wants me because she's trying to get me to meet her at this restaurant instead of in her office. Mm-hmm. So he tells Angela that she is going with him to go down there. And
oh,
she's like,
God,
why?
But I mean, the Stromboli, like, oh, that's the place where I mean, like, people are just banging behind the dumpster in Stromboli. Like, that is, it's just on at the Stromboli's.
You don't know what's going on there.
I guess I don't.
Yeah. We haven't even seen the main dining room. Maybe there are women swinging
We don't know
chandeliers.
There's a main dining room. Stromboli's is a mystery.
Big mystery.
I'll never, ever know what it really is. But it's a nice bar.
But poor Angela's like, why am I getting dragged into this? How come I have to go down to Stromboli now because you broke up with this lady?
I think you're right, though, that the bar is the front part. I think that's a lot of restaurants used to operate like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
some of them still do. The bar is in the front.
Yeah, see, like, I think this is where you wait trying to get until your table is ready. So you have, like, a drink there.
Yeah. And you meet and have sex or whatever in the front room.
Right. So, like,
and
maybe
then you go
some
have
people.
Your, put calzone or
you
whatever.
Just you show up there single by yourself, you
and
get
you
a table
a
for two. Boom. And then you find someone in this bar to go have dinner with you, and then you're on a date just like that.
All right, yeah, I'll take that.
So Joan is there again with Susan, her friend, and Tony comes over and
wait a minute, is that the same woman?
Yeah.
That's same Susan. Okay.
Yeah, because yeah, she says to him, is Pee Wee here? And he's like, no. Oh, yeah, and she's right. Like, okay, oh, then you can, yeah, you can
you're right,
stay.
You're right, you're right, yeah. You're right.
Tony tells Angela, go sit by the bar so that you can hear everything we say. And in case I need you as a witness in some sort of review board.
Okay.
So she goes over to the bar. He goes up to her. He calls her Dr. Powell. And she's like, it's fine. We're not in class right now. You can call me Joan. And he's being all loud. Oh, you want me to call you Joan?
But he sounds insane.
He does. And Angela's like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And so he sits down, he talks to her, and he's like, I want to talk about my paper. You gave it a C, and it was a good paper. And she says, yeah, it was a good paper. And he's like, oh, you say it was a good paper.
He's yelling again.
Yelling. Yeah.
And meanwhile, Angela's cheesing, yeah. Or somebody's cheesing on Angela at the bar.
Yeah. She's about to go get a table for two at Stromboli and leave Tony there.
You can't put Angela at a bar very long.
No. And Tony's going to be spending the rest of his evening by himself.
That's right.
Then he looks like, you know, you better start paying attention. So she's like, okay. So now she's trying to listen a little more. And Dr. Powell says that his paper was one of the best in the class. And again, he's still repeating everything loudly. Like, how does this woman not realize that this guy is a complete lunatic?
I know. You know, what would have been funnier is if he would have brought Mona to the bar. And then, like, he would have kind of, like, yelled at her for not listening or like
get
her attention. Yeah. She's just hitting on men and stuff.
She would have been everywhere.
Not to,
I know, but you had to get this joke here at the end because then, so they're going on and she says, yes, your paper was very good. You actually got the highest grade in the entire class, but I grade very hard and you need to, she's like, all the facts and stuff were there. You just need to do it a little more in your own words and like not really process the information and not just regurgitate the information. So now he's like, oh, and he realizes that he got the highest grade in the entire class.
Right, even though it was a C.
And she says, you know, did you think that I gave you a C because you broke our date? Like, do you think I'm that shallow and I was so upset that I couldn't have you? And he's trying to play it off now. And she's like, what an ego on you.
Mm-hmm.
So she turns around to Angela and she's like, she says to him, you probably think every woman in this bar wants you. She turns around to Angela and says, excuse me, do you want him?
Right. You're right. That part wouldn't have worked.
And that is the one person that
kind of want him.
Right, at the bar. I mean, I'm sure other women would want him if he was available. Right, but to ask Angela that, and she's just like, doesn't know what to say. So Tony's embarrassed, and Joan gets up and leaves, and Angela kind of feels pretty bad for him at this point. So she's like, he says, I'm so embarrassed. And she's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And he's like, yeah, no, I am full of myself, and I'm a jerk, and I'm sorry. But Angela is basically letting him off the hook and saying, you know, like, you're not a jerk and you just got a little caught up in it. So instead of going home, they decide to go see the showing of Casablanca that's playing at the theater. So they go together to the theater and have a little date.
Casablanca?
Yeah,
Casablanca?
Right?
Casablanca?
No?
I always thought it was Casablanca.
Oh, I have no idea.
But Tony says it weird in this episode, too. So
it probably is Casablanca.
He probably says Casablanca.
I have no idea. I've never seen the movie. And
I have. I actually saw it in the theater.
Really?
Not that I'm that old, but it replayed again later on.
Oh, okay. So you went to a showing like this when it was playing again.
Right.
But what's cute is that they end up going on a little date together.
That's right.
Even though we don't get to see that date and nothing comes of it. But you know. Snail's pace.
Yeah, so. Extra snail pace.
Who's the boss? Will be back in a moment. Stick around.
In the tag, they get home from the movie. They're kind of reminiscing about what they saw. They're being a little flirty. Jonathan comes in. And when we were watching this tag, we were like, who left all the empty soda cans on the table?
Right. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Right.
But eventually it does make sense.
Why? But Jonathan comes in and they're like, oh, what are you still doing up? And he's like, oh, Pee-wee showed me a great way to pick up women. And he picks up one of the empty beer cans or Coke cans, tries to smash it on his head. And he's not even doing it in the right direction. Like, the actual smashing of the beer can on the head is the bottom of the
can, know,
right?
I know, but that's really hard.
Yes,
it's
and
more
that would
dense
completely
that way, and that would
have
really hurt him. Like, for him to do it that way for the show is much better.
So he does it from the side, and even that knocks him out. He completely passes out.
Oh, poor
so
Jonathan.
I'm thinking Jonathan never got Julie Walsh to go out with him.
I'm thinking you're right.
That's the end of the episode. You go first with rating.
Okay. I'll give this a 6.5.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. Like, it had its funny moments, and then the stuff with Pee-wee, right? Pee-wee.
Yeah, Pee-wee.
The stuff with Pee-wee was funny, and, you know, the fact that she ends up hitting a Tony, and she becomes his professor. I don't know, like, just a solid 6.5, because it had, like, the laughs and stuff, but I was still mildly confused about why Tony wouldn't date anybody, but yet still doesn't do anything at home with Angela. Right. It's kind of mind blowing, yes. But I understand what show we're watching,
right,
and
right.
How it ends. So, but yeah, 6.5, and I'm sticking with that.
All right, yeah, I gave this one a 7, which is on par with how we usually rate these types of episodes, and I think mostly just because of the Tony and Angela parts.
That's true. Yeah, the chemistry. You know,
They're focusing.
But it's like, come on.
I know.
Come on.
It's extremely frustrating.
Jeez.
Yeah, because like now they're becoming not real people. Like,
right.
We're not going to date each other, but we're not going to date anyone else. And we're just going to push down all these feelings.
Right, we're
going
to become asexual.
Right, exactly.
Just not do anything.
Until something's got to give.
I guess.
So, yeah, but I still gave it a 7 just because of that aspect of it. It's cute. Right. It's funny. Tony kind of gets put in his place. The part about him not going out with her is kind of dumb, but whatever, I guess.
Right, like why can't he just go out and see a movie with somebody? I don't know.
Right.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
So I think this might be the first time I've ever done this, but I'm going with Joan as the boss. I'm not going with anyone in the main cast. Because Tony was a complete idiot in this entire episode. And right. Angela did kind of weigh in and say you're being ridiculous, but right. She didn't do much. And I feel like Joan took it like a boss when she got turned down and then didn't take it out on Tony afterwards. Like, she just figured, well, this guy's got something going on that I don't know about,
right.
And didn't really take it personally and didn't let it affect their relationship in the classroom. And then Tony made a complete ass out of himself.
Yes, he did.
And she stood her ground, and then that was it.
Yeah, I mean, kill him with kindness, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
All right. That's it? You're done?
I'm done, yeah.
All right. I wish I could say I thought of that, because that's pretty good. I mean, I think that's the best scenario, but I went with Angela just because I was trying to keep it within the
right.
main
and
characters.
She did help.
And she did help, and she did like kind of convince him he was being an idiot and all that kind of stuff. But no, yours is much better. I'm not afraid to admit that. That's a much better boss.
She should have just gone home with that guy at the bar and really twisted the dagger in Tony
yeah.
there.
That would have been bizarre, but yeah. And that wouldn't have worked.
Okay, so you can reach us at... Now you can no longer reach us at...
Can't reach us on Facebook, so don't try.
No, and you know what? I've been really bad about updating Instagram, and I got to get back to it. I'm posting these episodes, and people may not even know if they follow our Instagram. But we are the Who's Boss Podcast on Instagram, Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter, which I'm equally bad about keeping up with. And our Facebook page is now defunct, so you can't reach us there. Or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. What is the next episode we're going to cover?
Oh, and I was looking at that earlier.
You have it? I can't find my browser window now.
The next episode, well, I can do it for you. I think, if I'm right... Season 6, episode 6, mm-hmm. Mother and Child Disunion. My gosh.
I have no idea what this episode is. I'm pretty sure I've never seen it.
Really? Okay, this should be good then.
Or at least not since
the
initial
run. We won't
read
the description. We got to save that for next week.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe... You can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.